You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us on Thursday night to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. I'll be going solo today, and then Jeff and I will be on Locker Room tonight in order to have our Friday episode. But we've got a couple things to talk about. Kenley Jansen, the main source of our conversation today. Talk a little bit about Trevor Bauer, a couple other notes and news from around the league. Before that, a reminder to follow us wherever you get podcasts, specifically Apple Podcasts, and make sure to tune in every Monday through Friday. All right, so as you know, probably, the Dodgers lost yesterday in a Wednesday day game. Trevor Bauer got the start and pitched well enough to get the win. Unfortunately, that did not happen. He went 6 2/3, ended up giving up 2 runs, struck out 10, but then, as you know, Kenley Jansen blew the save in the 9th. Dodgers went to extra innings, were not able to score in the top of the 10th, and then Jimmy Nelson gave up the winning run in the bottom of the 10th. So the Dodgers finished their first 7-game road trip 5-2, which is not bad, but if you look at the 2 losses, that bookended the trip. A little bit annoying. The Dodgers left a lot of guys on base yesterday. Went 2 for 21 with runners in scoring position. That's counting the last inning where they had a runner on second to start the inning, because that's still the rule in the extra innings this year. So very frustrating on that end. But let's just jump right into it. Kenley Jansen, who closed the night before. I did not expect him to be used on back-to-back days, but Dave Roberts decided to use him on back-to-back days. And while he didn't completely implode, he did lack his command, like we've seen, unless you're Dave Roberts, who has seen him not lack command, apparently. But either way, it resulted in giving up a run, and the Dodgers were not able to, like I said, to score on the top. They ended up losing it in the bottom of the 10th. There's a lot of conversations to be had here, and I guess the first one is, why Dave Roberts used Kenley Jansen on back-to-back nights when we know that he struggled with that last year, and that may be too early in the season to kind of tell for it this year. But honestly, I think that may be the exact reason why he was comfortable using Kenley Jansen. The Dodgers do have an off day today and another one on Monday. And, with that happening, he wanted to see what he could get out of Jansen going on back-to-back days. And while, like I said, velocity-wise, he's been pretty much where he's been the whole time, but just didn't have that command, wasn't able to locate, and it ended up hurting him. And for me, I don't have a big issue with Dave Roberts trying this early on in the year. He needs to see if he can use Jansen on back-to-back days. He'll probably do it again in the near future just to double-check. We've seen Roberts struggle with using guys when they're not needed, or in situations that they maybe don't have success in before, a la Joe Kelly in the 2019 NLDS Game 5. But with Jansen, the blame goes on him. He wasn't able to get the outs. He, walked guys and wasn't able to get into favorable counts in order to help himself out. But the other part is, Dave Roberts put him in that situation, whether it was on purpose, whether it was trying to see something or whatever it was. But I think that's what the thinking was for using him. Victor Gonzalez only threw a couple pitches to get the last out of the 8th. He probably should have came out and started the 9th and finished this out. But Dave decided to go with Kenley, and we all know what happened after that. But when it comes to Kenley Jansen, the funny part after the game, Dave Roberts' quote that got pretty well circulated was that he said it was uncharacteristic of Kenley Jansen to be lacking command. And we've talked about this, about Kenley Jansen, all of last year. Even when he was, quote-unquote, doing well, he never really had the command that was necessary. He was kind of all over the place, kind of got, you know, effectively wild to a certain extent last year, where he, you know, guys maybe didn't know where he was going to pitch, and where he maybe he didn't know where the pitch was going, and it ended up working out because his cutter still has some movement when he's throwing it right, and he's able to work around it. He definitely doesn't have the velocity to make up for a lot of his mistakes as he did in the past, and now with no command and lack of velocity, it's just been a bad mix. But when it comes down to it, you know, Jansen had the 5-out save last week. He had a save last night. He, for the most part, commanded pretty decently. And maybe that's what Robert meant, just specifically this season, the two appearances that he's had. But you know, when it comes to Kenley Jansen over the last 2 years or so, he has lacked command a lot of nights. And the difference between lack of command and lack of control, while the lack of command was a little bit of a lack of control in yesterday's loss, it doesn't always necessarily lead to that in other times. There's been times where he has lack of command, which means he's not throwing it where he wants to, missing his spots, and that's when guys get big hits or home runs, or, you know, how we saw the Astros come back last year and how we saw other teams come back at various times last season. Whereas yesterday was more of a lack of command and control, putting guys on and things like that. So it wasn't fun to watch. I think in the long run of the season, it was something that may be necessary. I think Dave Roberts needs to see that Kenley Jansen is not as effective on back-to-back days, and then, you know, he may need to avoid using him on back-to-back days unless absolutely necessary, and that he may need to let some of these other guys in his bullpen do the jobs that they've been brought in to do. Now, a lot of these guys weren't brought in or didn't come up as closers, but they have very capable, they're very capable of being successful in roles of closing out games. Do I think Victor Gonzalez should have closed out the game yesterday? Yes. Do I think he had the capabilities to do so? Yes. Jimmy Nelson, who, you know, ended up giving it up in the 10th, should he have maybe been given a chance there in the 9th to close it out? Maybe as well there. But this early in the season, I'm not going to get too upset about it. Obviously, it's frustrating. I would have preferred to see Jansen just come in and close the door. But I do need, you know, I'd rather this happen now than later in the season in a potential divisional race or in the postseason. Now, last year, Kenley Jansen threw back-to-back days a couple times in the postseason. One time didn't work out so well. The other times it was fine. But I would rather see Dave Roberts. I'd rather have Dave Roberts see right now what he's got with Kenley. Is he a one-time, you know, one day at a time type reliever? Is he a guy he can use multiple days in a row? Is he a guy that we already saw, he tried him with 5 outs the other day, ended up working out? He needs to try all these things out and see what he's got in order to better deploy his bullpen as the season goes on. So in that sense, I'm fine with it. Would I have rather seen Jansen just finish it out normally? Yes, but, you know, we all know the deal with Kenley Jansen. I don't think he needs to be taken out as a closer right now. I don't think any, you know, overreactions other than the fact that Dave Roberts is probably going to try this a couple other times. I'm going to see what he has from Jansen. And honestly, I'm completely okay with that. We need to see what he's got as well. And Dave Roberts needs to know who he needs to go to or what he needs to prepare for in the future in games like this, where a couple guys may be out or a couple guys may not be or were already used or whatever the case was. It's early in the season. I'm going to let this one go. But I can understand the frustration. So if you're frustrated, feel free to remain frustrated. The Dodgers have an off day, so you get to sit on it for another day. But then they get the rings on Friday, so everything will be better and everything will be nice and dandy. So I'm looking forward to that. Going to come back and talk a little bit about the offense and how they're handling things when it comes to injuries. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. You want to be a part of the Locked On Dodgers podcast? Well, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room, and you can download the Locker Room app, which is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us tonight or other fans and athletes and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Like I said, we'll be hosting a room tonight, probably around 5 p.m. Pacific, taking on questions, taking on comments, talking about the Dodgers' first week of the season and what we think will happen during the home opener, what we want to happen during the home opener, and the celebrations and things of that nature. So make sure to download the Locker Room app right now. You can find us, and we will be giving away a couple things tonight. So make sure to get that app, check us out, and be part of the show. So make sure to download the app, make a profile, link your Twitter, do all that good stuff. Follow me at Vincent's91 or follow Jeff at Snydog, and you won't want to miss everything we're doing over there. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com has been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They're a family business, and what's better than a family business? Not very many things, but what Rock Auto does have better than other family businesses is reliably low prices and easy to use website and the same prices for everyone, whether you're a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer. There's an ever-increasing number of makes and models. It's impossible for all these stores to stock all the parts you'll need, but rockauto.com can store everything right there on the online database. You can get it sent directly to your door. Make your car project easy to do. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. And best of all, you get low prices. So why wouldn't you go to RockAuto.com? And if you do go to RockAuto.com and they ask, how did you hear about us? Make sure to let them know Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the new Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, so the Dodgers, like I said, lost. But they one thing that stood out is that they were down a couple of outfielders, which may have changed their strategy later in the game, and which is why I'm not a big fan of the wait-and-see approach this early in the season, especially when they know that it's very possible that other guys can go down with injury, and then you're kind of SOL, as they say, and maybe that's what happened last night. There was a couple of pinch-hitting opportunities for Matt Beatty or Edwin Rios that they weren't used in, probably for the fact that they were down two outfielders with Cody Bellinger out, and Mookie Betts had a stiff lower back, so he was out. And this is my issue with Cody Bellinger and kind of holding him hostage, so to say, in terms of not knowing whether to put him on the IL or not. Now they cost themselves maybe some potential at-bats in yesterday's game that ended up being a loss, and now they're not sure if he's going to, you know, be ready by Friday, and Friday they'll make the decision whether to put him on the IL. At that point, he's already missed two games in 3 days. He'd already be almost a third of the way of being off the IL, and, you know, with the taxi squad and with them going back home after, it would have been very easy to replace him, put another guy out there, and make sure that they're not short-handed when it comes down to it, and when they need guys to move positions or to come to the plate in order to better maximize their chances of winning. So, you know, Bellinger, yeah, he could be ready by Saturday, and that's only 4 days, but he also might not be ready by Saturday, and then they put him on the IL, and now they potentially cost themselves one game. Now, I don't think the NL West is going to come down to one game, and I don't think at the end of the day this loss that they had is going to be a big deal. But, you know, a couple of those losses pile up, and then you're talking about, you know, maybe you're in a divisional race as the season goes on if the Padres catch a hot streak or something like that. So, especially this early in the season with all the depth they have, you know, Cody Bellinger probably should have just went on the IL right away. They did this wait-and-see approach with Chris Taylor as well. So then yesterday they were down two pinch hitters with Bellinger out and Chris Taylor only able to be defensive replacement or a pinch runner. So now you shorten your bench two games in a row. Didn't cost them the first time. Might have cost them yesterday. And that's why I'm not a big fan of the wait-and-see approach when it comes to the IL, especially if it's something that they know he'll be for sure ready to go out the end of the 10 days. Why don't you go ahead? They got the taxi squad for a reason nowadays. Put the person out there. You know, I don't think Sheldon Noisy or even DJ Peters or whoever else would get called up. I don't think they're worried about wasting option years at all. Those guys are probably going to have to come up at some point this season, as we've already seen. Guys have stiff lower backs. Guys get spiked. Guys get hit in the wrist. And, you know, it's more than likely that we're going to see those guys in the majors at some point anyways. So I'm not sure exactly what the hesitancy was. You know, obviously Cody Bellinger probably wants to be out there for the home opener and out there in center field. But at the end of the day, he would still be there for the ring ceremony and all that good stuff, even if they had to put him on the IL. So I'm not sure that's necessarily a good reason for it. And the Dodgers can afford to kind of put him up there. Obviously, they don't really have a true center fielder behind him, but Chris Taylor is more than capable of handling those duties. Mookie Betts is more than capable of handling those duties. Even Zach McKinstry or AJ Pollock in a pinch can handle those duties. They're going back home where center field, the field's a little bit smaller and not, you know, they're not covering the expansive outfield of Oakland or even Colorado. So Yeah, it's been a thing they've done in the past, and it's kind of bothered me. And obviously, at the end of the day, not a big deal. Like I said, this one loss isn't going to change or affect the season, or at least I would hope not. But, you know, you can run this a couple times. They may get a guy hurt like this later in the year, and they do the same thing. And, you know, all it takes is one person to have a stiff lower back like Mookie Betts, and now you're down two players instead of one, where you could have just had a fresh body up and ready to go, and then, you know, get that person back at the end of 10 days. So I would have preferred that, you know, they make a earlier decision on Bellinger in order not to handicap themselves. But I can understand why they don't want to maybe lose him for the full 10 days. Although at this point, you know, it's not the worst thing if he goes out for 10 days because it's April and it's only 10 days and he'll be right back ready to go. All right, I'll touch on Trevor Bauer a little bit. He performed pretty well again. Again, the first six innings, kind of like his last start in Colorado, he was pretty much lights out. Seventh inning, ran into a little bit of trouble, and that's ultimately what led to him coming out of the game. But at least 10 strikeouts in both starts so far, has thrown some really nasty pitches and has been pretty much all the Dodgers could ask for right now, and been a nice number two cog in that rotation. And it's exciting to see what he can do the rest of the year. Some of those pitches he's been throwing, for sure being featured on Pitching Ninja and looking, you know, downright unhittable. I will note that one of the reporters did mention that one of Trevor Bauer's balls was flagged by the umpires, taken out of the game to be examined. I'm not sure if this has happened in other games so far, if Trevor Bauer was the first one where they're kind of trying to track or crack down on you know, doctoring or substances or whatever else it is. You know, Trevor Bauer knowingly has talked about this in the past, knowingly has said it's a joke how certain players go certain places and all of a sudden their RPMs go up on their pitches. Trevor Bauer's RPMs went up last year when he had probably one of his best years, so they're probably going to be skeptical, and since he still has spoken about it, it might be a thing. You know, I don't know if it's a thing if the other team gets to ask, or umpires just get to do it, or if MLB asks, whatever it is, I'm not sure. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Obviously, nothing happened yesterday, and you know, we didn't get any reports or anything of any wrongdoing or malfeasance. So we're just going to have to sit and wait and see what happens. But yeah, Trevor Bauer's been a joy so far to watch pitching. And the good thing is that he has said that he's going to donate $1,000 for every strikeout. So far, he has up to $20,000 in his two starts to give to a nonprofit of his choice at the end of the month. So, you know, that's good on that end. Other than that, nothing too much. Like I said, Dodgers 2-for-21 in runners in scoring position, not ideal. They managed to not get 10 hits for, I think, just the second or third time so far this season. And yeah, they kind of let Lizardo off the ropes. They had him throwing 32 pitches in the first inning. They ended up only getting just the one run. And he kind of settled in and ended up pitching into the sixth, which we saw with the Dodgers a couple times last year, specifically in the playoffs against Max Fried in game six. They got some runs off him in the first. They ended up letting him settle down, and he ended up pitching into the seventh. So while the Dodgers offense obviously can run up pitch counts and like that, they can also let a pitcher settle in and groove and find his way all the way to the later innings, which is not ideal, but you know, it's just the seventh game of the season. I'm not going to put too much into it. The Dodgers have put a lot of pitchers out early in the game, and this one just didn't happen to work out. But either way, I think that's it. There's really wasn't too much to talk about. Trevor Bauer did throw a lot of pitches, but I didn't really have an issue with it. That's what he's known to like to do, and that's what he was brought in for, to give the Dodgers a different type of guy who can go as long as they kind of need him to go. So I don't have an issue with that. Going to come back, talk a little bit about California's ease of restrictions and some of the new stuff at Dodger Stadium. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Do you know what's the fastest and easiest way to get in on all the sports betting action? It's Bet Online. Football's been over, but there's plenty of other sports to take advantage of, especially MLB. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And you can go there, win some money. The best part, you can sign up for free. Just go to betonline.ag and sign up. And right now, if you go to betonline.ag, sign up, and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit at betonline.ag with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen. He uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, going to close out with a couple of news and notes and then talk about some of the new stuff at Dodger Stadium. One thing I don't think we mentioned, the All-Star game was removed from Atlanta because of the new voter suppression laws that were being put into place. MLB took the game away from Atlanta and they put it at Coors Field. So Coors Field will be the host of the All-Star game and Home Run Derby festivities this year. Doesn't really affect the Dodgers too much, although I would prefer their guys not have to go play at Coors Field, whoever makes the All-Star game. But whoever is in the Home Run Derby, that should be a fun way to spend it hitting baseballs very far in that cool, thin Denver air. When it comes to California and some restrictions, the governor announced that June 15th that places would be able to open up fully to 100% capacity. With that being said, Stan Kasten did mention in a media talk yesterday that they hope to have 100% capacity at Dodger Stadium around or after June 15th. So that's a good sign, an exciting sign, I guess, depending how you feel about things. You know, if you're still skeptical, you don't have to go to the games. If you're vaccinated and feel fine, or you feel fine regardless, you can still go to the games. But, you know, having a packed house at Dodger Stadium, while maybe scary to some people still, it's going to be pretty exciting to see. And, you know, we're reaching the point where we might be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, at least to a certain extent on this pandemic. And that's obviously something we've all been waiting for. So with that being said, and with the home opener on Friday, Dodger Stadium and all its $100 million in renovations will finally be open to Dodger fans for the first time since 2019, before they had all this new stuff. Looks like the media was invited to kind of check everything out yesterday, and there was a lot to check out. Starting off, you know, the big thing is the center field welcoming gate, or the front door, as they call it in center field. Everyone will be able to enter through that gate if you want to. They sort of modeled it after a Disney Stadium style look, and it looks great when you walk in. They have the little trophy, 2020 World Champions right there. They have the Blue Heaven on Earth sign. Welcome to Dodger Stadium. You're walking straight into center field. They have new stuff in right field pavilion. They have new stuff in left field pavilion. And it looks like it's going to be, you know, a fun thing to go to. And, you know, behind right field pavilion, they have a bunch of tables set up, a bunch of seats set up. There's a few new eateries. There's a Bow and Bowls. There's a bar. There's a Shake Shack, which got, you know, differing opinions about Shake Shack. I probably won't be going there just because Shake Shack's already expensive, let alone without stadium pricing. But I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy Shake Shack being there. Looks like, you know, beyond that, they got the new mural up for the World Series. They got some new sections that add World Champions stuff. They have a whole section of the 2020 season. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but left field pavilion. They got a Muncy jersey, a Betts jersey, a Kershaw jersey. They got a couple things from the World Series. They got a bat. They got some other things that are signed. So nice little display there. That's obviously going to be the big part of the new attraction, which is Dodger Stadium. They got a new center field area with some stuff about Fernando Valenzuela and some other stuff. And left field, they got Dunkin' Donuts and a Golden Road Brewery, more patio seating. They got new stores out there in center field, a Nike and New Era store. I saw this cool little interactive space where fans, you go sit in the dugout and like the players kind of walk out and interact with you to a certain extent, and then you can kind of take a picture with them as if you were in the dugout. So there's a lot of things. There's a new speakeasy that looks into the visitor's bullpen. The speakeasy was made with Tommy Lasorda in mind, and like I said, you're looking directly into the visitor's bullpen, so I'm sure some heckling will be going on there. But all in all, you know, regardless of the food and everything else that they add, it just looks beautiful, and it's, you know, a I'm not sure how they're going to handle it right now with the restrictions and everything else. But once everything opens up, I mean, there's just so much more to do. The Dodger Stadium will be more of a social event than it already is. You know, the fans that want to sit and watch baseball can still sit and watch baseball. But if you're a fan that's just there for the social aspects, some entertainment, maybe watch a little baseball, there's a lot more for you to do there as well. A lot more seating, a lot more, you know, standing room seating, a lot more to do. And it's exciting. I'm probably not going to be there till Sunday. I believe Jeff will be there on Friday and Saturday for the first two games. But I'm just excited to take it all in. I'm excited to check it all out and, you know, be back at Dodger Stadium. It's been a long time for actual baseball. I've done COVID testing. I've done voting. I've done first dose of vaccine at Dodger Stadium. But I've yet to watch a Dodger game there since game five of the 2019 NLDS, which was obviously a painful memory. So I'm excited to get out there, see them in their gold jerseys this weekend, and just be back at Dodger Stadium, enjoying everything that is Dodger Stadium, walking around, not having to walk up the stairs if I don't have to, being taking advantage of the new elevators, you know, walking around the stadium. There's just so much I'm excited to do. And the fact of the matter is that we haven't done it in a while, and it's going to be, you know, I'm sure there's going to be tears shed when you walk back in there just for the fact that you haven't been there in so long. All the new stuff, all the World Series champion stuff. There's going to be, you know, the unveiling of the 2020 little banner thing. There's going to be a lot going on, and I'm excited and ready for it. And hopefully that you can get out to a game if you are able to do so, and you can take it in and enjoy it as well. But yeah, that's all I got for today. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I'll be there Sunday, and then also be there, I think, Wednesday of next week. So I've got about 10 games planned already, and while they have sold tickets through June 2nd. So I'll be at a bunch of games, and I'm excited to go and check it out and be back home, as they say. All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. Make sure to rate and review if you have the time to do so. Make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to download the Locker Room app, where we will be hosting a chat tonight, probably around 5 p.m., talking about the Dodgers, talking about the home opener, talking about a bunch of things. Come in, ask a question, have a good time, participate, and maybe you could win something. I got a pin from the opening series in Colorado. Maybe we'll give away a t-shirt or something as well. So make sure to download the app, create a profile, follow Jeff at Snydog, follow me at Vincent91, and join us in the chat tomorrow. The Dodgers aren't playing, so you really have no excuse, right? Other ways to get a hold of us beyond social media, you can call us or text us at 323-863-5625, or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
D, I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant?